Thank you. Yes. Yeah, so the title of my talk is Diagrams for Resonances in Rabbit. And I will spend some time to discuss resummation of above-threshold ionization matrix elements in second quantization in particular. Now, we have to remember what Rabbit is when it is spelled in this way. And this is an acronym for Reconstruction of Attosecond Beating by Interference of Two Photon Transitions. And this is an experimental method that was used to measure for the first time the duration of attosecond pulses. And these pulses, they come in a train of pulses, so it's called an attosecond pulse train. And in the frequency domain, this sequence of pulses correspond to odd harmonics of a fundamental laser driving field. So here you see the Rabbit scheme. This experiment was done by Paul et al. In 2001. So we take two of these odd harmonics, a bigger one, and then there's a second field. This infrared field is introduced, and it can induce a transition down here. Okay, we call this emission path, and then we have a smaller odd harmonic, and then we absorb an infrared photon, and we go to the same final state. So that the probability to reach this sideband will depend on the interference of those two channels. And I'm sure you believe me then that this path will depend on the phase of the higher harmonic, and this one will depend on the phase of the lower one. So in fact, this come in as phase differences. And in this way, they were able to measure the group delay of these attosecond pulses. So we have the phase of this 2q plus 1 high harmonic minus the phase of the 2q minus 1. And then it comes out because of this energy difference of 2 omega. And this is then this group delay of the attosecond pulse in the train. This is how the measurement was done. However, in the theory by Müller, it is also clear that these two photon matrix elements, they occur in the continuum here. And for that reason, they are complex. So in addition to this group delay, which they wanted to measure, there was also an atomic contribution, which we call the atomic delay. And so the difference in atomic delay between this path and the phase of that path would also contribute. So this is the delay that I will talk about here. Now, here I have some calculations from this paper here with Eva. And we have performed the atomic delay calculation using the single active electron potential that Müller introduced, which is the same one they used in the science paper. And this gives this green curve here. This is the atomic delay as a function of excitation energy. And then we have performed two photon matrix elements, but correlated ones within the random phase approximation. And they are shown here, these lines that sort of all agree here. Okay, so they seem consistent. So for ionization from the 3P, we see that the RPAE does a good job to describe also the atomic delay. However, if we do not include ground state correlation, which is what we talked about yesterday, so going beyond this single configuration interaction singles, we get instead this purple line. So you see it overshoots this delay structure by an amount which is comparable maybe to this particular single active electron model. And this is all well with ionization from the 3P, but ionization from the inner shell of argon, the 3S, gives slightly bigger differences here. And in particular, it's important to include correlation between different orbitals, so the 3S and the 3P. If we don't do that, our delay looks like this red line here. So there's a very strong dependence on correlation for these atomic delays. Now, if we look in this region, it looks like there's a lot of stuff that's happening, right? And this is because here we're close to the threshold of the 3s, the opening of the 3s. And so there are many Rydberg resonances here. And resonances have also already been studied using the rabbit method here. First, I think, in N2 by Hessler. And then there was a below threshold resonance in helium that was studied by Svoboda. And now there's a manuscript in preparation from Lund with this famous resonance here, which is converging to the opening of the 3s shell. So this one is only 8 femtoseconds long. This is very long, and this is, was it 60 attoseconds, I think? Femtoseconds, 60 femtoseconds, yes. So we do this calculation, the same one as I just showed you again, but for ionization from the 3p orbital. And we just change the frequency, the fundamental frequency, and that way we change all the harmonics, the harmonic comb also a little bit, and we see what happens to this delay. And above the threshold, there are no resonances in this model, so it follows a very nice smooth curve. But in this region here where we have the resonances, we can see that these atomic delays, they can have, any value, more or less. It's a mess. So in this model, we have included correlation effects to the level of the random phase approximation with exchange, which is developed by Amusia. Well, I mean, we have written the code, but the theory here is from his book. But Amusia and Kaifetz have already showed in 1981 that to describe fun resonances, which are these resonances here, one does not get a good value by the random phase approximation by exchange. In fact, one has to include even more correlations. So this figure is more a demonstration that something happens rather than exactly what happens. As further motivation to look into resonances in rabbit, we can look at the work done on attosecond transient absorption. This is a science paper by Ott from last year, where they demonstrated that they could control the Fano structure from this typical Fano structure to more Lorentz shape and the other way around by having the XUV field being transmitted through the atomic gas in the presence of an infrared field. And to my mind, XUV plus IR is what we do also in rabbits. So these things should be very much connected. In fact, I mean, rabbit is sort of, this is sort of like just putting a rabbit on top of the, I mean, yeah, maybe I'll explain that later. So can we learn something new about doing rabbit on these resonances? And part of these derivations were done here at the KITP with Eva Lindroth and Alfred Mackay. And as you can see, we're having a lot of fun doing this. So the starting point for the method is diagrammatic many-body perturbation theory, but with photons. So we have an independent electron Hamiltonian, which is essentially a restricted Hartree-Fock. And to remind you, the Hartree-Fock in this case is a sum over all the orbitals with their occupancy, and then we have the direct, the Hartree potential, and the exchange potential. The problem with the Hartree-Fock model is that the virtual orbitals here do not correspond to atomic excitations. So we need to do something more to describe photonization and excitations. And this we do in the crudest way by this potential here. And I will explain what that is now. So these are just some more radial integrals for the Hartree-Fock. This projected potential, it does not disturb the Hartree-Fock orbitals in any way, because we have used a projector on each side, which only acts on the excited or the virtual orbitals. And then we want that the excited electron should see a long-range Coulomb potential, because this is what we have when we have an ion, so it's included here in this way. And this J, it becomes 1 for large R, so you can see it in this expression. This ensures that we have a Rydberg series in this model already, and it ensures that we have Coulomb wave functions asymptotically. Now we have to put on our Fermi vacuum glasses, so even though we have an atom which is in the Hartree-Fock ground state, we don't see it. It is vacuum. So this is the Fermi vacuum, and we use second quantization. And here we have the relation here that the occupied states from the beginning are equal to, or not equal, but they form one together. Holes, this is where we remove one electron from the vacuum. It's a down arrow from the atom, and the electrons are drawn with an up arrow. So in this way, we can start to draw the processes in second quantization that are needed in rabbit. The first diagram, A, is an uncorrelated one. It includes the absorption of the XUV photon. First, we create a hole in the orbital A, and then we have an excited electron in the virtual orbital P prime. Then it absorbs the infrared photon, and then it goes to the final state. So let's look at this one just in the usual way. This is just a two-photon matrix element from A to P to F. And we have this, and I will use a shorthand notation like this in everything that follows in order to fit it on the slides. So in red, I have marked the boundary condition, which is important here. We want that this intermediate wave packet is outgoing because it's photoionization. And this ensures that the perturbed wave function, which is this part of the expression, asymptotically will be an outgoing wave function here, exponential IKPR, with some phase. Okay, and this P is determined by the energy that you would have after absorption of one photon. So there's a tutorial here where I discuss this at length. But now, in this talk, we want to include some correlation. And the simplest thing we can do is to introduce a resonance, a single resonance, and that this couples to the continuum. So we have a hole in some other orbital B with some excitation N, and then this can sort of travel to this continuum P by interactions. So B is typically an inner hole, and A is an outer hole, which is closer to the Fermi surface, okay? And as an example, we can think of this famous resonance in argon here. So the diagram we then need would be B, where we first go to the bound excitation, Bn, and then we have a Coulomb interaction so that we go to the continuum. In the continuum, we can absorb the infrared photon, and we go to the final state. However, we can also go first to the resonance B, then go to the continuum, to the bound again, and then to the continuum, and final. These kind of diagrams here, they represent something similar to the Tam-Dankov approximation.
You always have the second photon absorption in the final
state. Here I do, because after you have absorbed this photon, it's not possible to go back to the resonance anymore due to parity. So the resonance is in the intermediate state, yeah? Yeah, that's important.
So you could absorb from the end state.
Yes, exactly, yeah. So this is what the B term, the lowest order term in this way, it includes only one Coulomb interaction. So, but there's a problem because here, this term would diverge if our laser XUV frequency would match exactly this resonance. So it would be impossible to do perturbation theory. Similarly, this other diagram with three Coulomb interactions also diverges here and here. But what is nice is that this part and this part is exactly B, so we can write Bx like a factor, factorizes. And in general, we can write any number of all the Coulomb interactions, like Bx to the power of n. And therefore, this sums up like a geometrical series. So we have B1 minus x, which would be all these odd Coulomb interactions. And the result is exactly the same diagram as we had before for B, but now we have a new energy here, sigma, which in fact is a complex number. So now this will not diverge anymore. So this complex energy, it changes this resonance energy to this complex resonance energy with a real part which shifts the energy and an imaginary part which is the inverse lifetime of the resonance. And just to remind you, why does it become complex? It is because when we have this integral with a pole in the continuum and we employ the outgoing wave boundary condition, so plus I epsilon here, then we get this real principal value integral, and then we get minus I and the pole contribution. So that works out. But there are also other diagrams, okay? Even if we only have one resonance, we could first go to the continuum, see this diagram, then go to the resonance, and then go back to the continuum. Or we can go to the continuum bound, and then to the continuum and absorb this infrared photon. So this corresponds to all the even number of Coulomb interactions. And we do the same trick here. We sum up the series with C, and we get a new energy for the resonance, the same energy shift. And this is nothing new. In fact, this is explained, for instance, in this paper here. I think Kelly was the one who introduced this in atomic physics, this type of resummation in the end of the 80s. So, but here, for our two-photon matrix element with one resonance, we then, it's almost as easy as ABC, but we had to renormalize, resum B and C. So it looks like this. Here we go directly to the final state. And if we write it explicitly, we can see that, in fact, the second part here is not changed at all. And this is the uncorrelated dipole, and then this must be the correction to the dipole that we have. So this altogether would just be the effective one photon dipole, including the effect of the resonance. So we can write the equation like the uncorrelated one by just adding effective here. And the question arises here, is this the same dipole as you would expect from Fano's theory already, even though this is a two-photon process? Something that I thought was not obvious beforehand. So we look in Fano's famous paper in equation 21. Here he gives the ratio of transition rates for the correlated final state and the uncorrelated one, and this is this relation. We take the square root, and then we rewrite it like 1 plus this correction. So now we identify what we would have as our Q value. And the Q value we get is exactly analogous to the one in Fano's paper, where Q is equal to the bound transition plus the principal value integral divided by this denominator here. And then Eva was very careful, and she noticed that there was a difference, because the lifetime in our derivation is frequency dependent, but it is not in Fano's theory. And so Alfred read Fano's paper more carefully and found that Fano does make this approximation. So we think this is okay. Now, this is the experiment by Kurtur from Lund. And here they have measured how the phase varies as a function of by detuning this comb and the laser frequencies in this range. They can follow how the phase varies over the as a function of this harmonic, and this is this black lines. And then there's a theoretical calculation using multi-configurational Hartree-Fock by Caret that produces this red curve here, this prediction here. So there, it looks like there's a pretty good agreement between the experiment and the theory here. But they also tried to do this in other sidebands, and it seemed that this was very difficult. So there must be something other, something interesting that happens. It's not just this static Fano theory. Okay. So, but here we just get the static one, so we need to do something more. We need to introduce one more resonance. and this creates all the mess. So we have two different resonances. Now I'm going to call it BM, which is opposite parity to the resonance NB. And in particular, it's so that if we absorb this photon to go to this resonance N, then by absorbing this infrared photon, we will have a large on-shell contribution to go here. So it will be a very strong, it may be a strong process. I mean, it's not important, but it can be. But then when we have absorbed this photon, this resonance BM can auto-ionize into the continuum AF. Of course, this can happen many times, so we can go to the BM one more time. So we can call this diagram D because it has this double resonance transition. And then Y because now we have a factor afterwards, but we also should include these Kaimanov bubbles underneath. So here we have to do a geometrical series twice, once for the dy series, and then once for the x. And in this way, we resum the energies for both resonances. And then we have the diagrams where we go directly to the continuum. We absorb the infrared photon, and then it can go to the resonance, and now you start to understand how this all works. So this one, EY, we sum this up. And there's one more. F is the final one. Okay. So here we go to the continuum, to the first resonance. We go to the continuum. We absorb the infrared photon. Then we go to the second resonance, and so on in this way. And this also can be resummed with two geometrical series. So the final expression for the two-photon process when we have two resonances is this one. A plus B plus C, and the renormalization for going to the first resonance here is the direct path to the final state. Then the other paths, they go to the final state continuum, but then they flicker into the second resonance. This is this factor here. And the paths that go there, they can go directly to the final state continuum, or they can go first through the first resonance, then the second one, and then to the final state. So this is, I think, a beautiful symmetric equation, which looks the same in many ways. However, if we write out explicitly what it is of course much more messy. So here is the first part. I'm not going to talk about this one because we already know everything about this one. The second one has three terms, and the first one here is what I would call a continuum term, because here we absorb, we go from A to P to the continuum, and then in the continuum we absorb a photon and we go to another continuum here. So this is a continuum transition, and for these transitions we know what phase we induce by absorption of an infrared photon to good approximation. We also know that when we ionize to a pure continuum, we can use Fermi-Golden's rule, and there's really no complications, really. However, here, we now have a transition from the original orbital to N, which is a discrete state, and then to M, which is another discrete state. They have lifetimes, but essentially it's bound transitions in a three-level system. So by shooting this XUV field and simultaneously having this infrared field, we could drive this transition and Rabi flopping and all these things in this decaying states here. So these two terms will behave very differently depending on the field parameters that are used in the experiment. So it's quite can be quite interesting to study. The last term here is again also a continuum character. So this is the one that really stands out in this analysis. Now here are my conclusions. I have discussed the kind of Tan-Dankov approximation and found the analytical solution to this one. The divergence were removed in the way by geometrical series. The above threshold ionization with two resonances, it gives this interesting dynamics that one could study maybe in the experiment. And as a prospect, maybe we could try to develop some Q parameter for two photon transitions. More information about the method that I have used here is again given here. And I would like to say that there's been independent work on rabbit resonances, which I have found on the archive by the group of Fernando Martin, and this looks like a very good paper. So I want to advertise this paper also. And then finally, I want to thank you for your attention. And I want to thank Daniel for letting me draw on his tablet.
How do you sum over continuum states? And just numerically, or what?
Yes. So in our original work, we use exterior complex scaling. Yeah. So let me see if I put this.
B-splines.
Yeah, B-splines and exterior complex scaling. Yeah. So then we have a finite number of states which we sum.
Okay.
Yeah. To create this.
Has anyone done this for molecules? We've done this for H2 plus, and we find that the continuum contribution is very sensitive to the angle of the harmonic generation. I talked to Pascal Salier about this. I think he's trying to do the experiments, but no one has done rabbit for a molecule with a functional orientation, as far as I know. You know.
It's always I'm going to integrate it cross sections in the rabbit. So I don't have.
Well, not always, I would say, but it's the common practice, yeah.
The challenge is to do it as a function of angle.
Doing the experiments of tomorrow.
To today, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. We have also.
Yes, I mean these delays that I have calculated that I showed you here, they are in fact angular resolved. So in order to have a closer connection with the streaking method, which is angular resolved, yeah. So.
Any other questions? But I haven't shown the spectrum of these resonances in the two photons, have you?
No, I did not.
You explained how you do the calculation, but
you mean taking the square of the matrix element, yeah. We have done that also, but to the level of the. In order to verify our method, we extract the one photon from what we have done, and then we compare with the experiments. Do you want to see this one, or I can?
In the preprint of the Lund experiment, it didn't show the spectra.
But we haven't paid attention much to the cross section for the second one. This is true.
No, except you have said that the RPA, the AE itself does not reproduce the bright Fennel profile.
Yeah, and this is this figure here. So. Yes. Yeah. Okay. No. That's true. That I mean, I have done calculations on the one and checked the Q parameter. And in agreement with Mircea and Caispe's work, we have the wrong sign of the Q parameter. And I didn't. Unfortunately, I did not know about their paper before that. But now I know. So that's
what
true.
What correlations can they include beyond
that? One thing they always do is that they change the Hartree-Fock energy with the experimental energy, which includes some effects without calculating them. But then they also included complex double excitation.
In this particular case for argon, it's very important to have a mixture of. I mean, the resonance is one hole in 3S, one particle in 4P, but then you also need to have instead have two holes in 3P. And extent, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
To get the Q permanent stuff, because it's essential for that.
Yeah, so this kind here. Three P. And then something like this here, yeah.
This is missing?
This is not included in RPAE.
Yeah.
But we found on the atomic delay side, we found that the problem is that the RPAE time delays don't really agree with the experiment. And these experiments were done in argon between the 3P and the 3S. And the 3S has a Cooper minimum, which is correlation induced. And these are these delay curves that I show here, but with four different models. So the black one, the blue one is the RPAE, the full one, or for the M-shell full one. So it has this large delay peak due to the Cooper minimum. So it's not a resonance, but it is, Cooper minimum. But by changing the approximation from the RPAE to only the random phase approximation, RPA, the sign of this blue curve shifts to the sign of the black one. So it's really tricky. And similarly, we found that if we neglect ground state correlation, this is this purple line here, so it's the Tam-Dankov approximation. And if we do this is the, the red one is the Tam-Dankov, so only forward. But if we include ground state correlation to the same guy, it flips up to the other side. So it really depends on the exact correlation model to get these delays right, because even though the cross sections look pretty good for RPAE, in fact here you can see these delays give very strong signals of whether you're on the right or on the wrong side, and this then involves not including this type of diagrams and these ones here. You flip the sign of the atomic delay in argon. So.
Okay. So let's take.